I'm back. Anyway, welcome to episode 24. Thanks for hanging with me, guys, during the break. But anyway, yeah, episode 24 with Production Spectrums. They'll explain what they do, but I'll just do a quick overview before we get into it. They basically just give creators a chance. We are creators with disability, mainly autistic, or that's the most notable. They give them a chance to create, really. Like, mainly animated. Well, anyway, they're my favourite ones so far, have been the animated ones on their YouTube channel, which I'll link below. And yeah, let's go. Nearly at the 1 year anniversary of the podcast, which is absolutely insane. But for now, we'll get into the interview.
Right, hello everybody, we're in another episode of the podcast, and we've got another interview today. So we've got, I'll go ask them to explain themselves. Can you please explain to the audience what you are doing and why I've invited you onto the show? That's okay.
For sure. No. Thanks for inviting us. So my name's Dan Tenveen. I'm the director of Spectrum Productions here in Montreal. I'm the co-founder and director. So it started up about 10, 11 years ago. And the whole goal of the organization is really just to create opportunities for autistic creatives in media production and the arts. So simply, we're just looking for ways to be able to create together.
Cool. So what I'm going to do is, this will be in two parts. First, I'll talk mainly to Dan about how it started, then I'll talk to the rest of you about how the actual process of making the projects that you do
shows like. That sounds the right way.
Yep. Okay, cool. Thank you. So, Dan, when you started it around about 10, 11 years ago, it was different times than now, but what was your goal with it?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. So the goal at the time, I was supporting and working with a couple of very creative individuals who were finishing high school, and I saw their career pathway kind of landing maybe not in a creative direction. And in part, I just wanted to try to create a space where these two very, very motivated individuals would have a chance to develop their skills in both, you know, two very different creative pathways. And from that, I started discussing with Liam O'Rourke, the other co-founder of Spectrum, who is now on to different challenges, lives in Halifax. We ran a summer camp. He'd run a one-week camp the year before, and we just saw it working so well, and we had a number of participants who came to summer camp who just wanted to keep creating, and so we just made the jump. We quit our jobs and rented a studio and started piecing together a space where we could create. We had so many volunteers, people helping us out or donating equipment or skills, expertise, showing us how to create different forms of video. And from there, it just kind of built and built. And we have a variety of programs now that many people participate in. A lot of those programs we provide a lot of support. So people want to learn how to do something. We're giving a lot of direction. And I think that you'll probably hear a lot of, you know, quite a few stories about people's perceptions on this call and their own journey of learning to create with Spectrum and with other areas of their life. And along with that, then we also wanted to create a program that was really focused around helping people pursue a career pathway. And, you know, I think a lot of that's our Creative Media Lab program. And the goal behind that is to really create a space where we can develop skills together, collaborate on larger creative projects over a longer period of time, and to make connections and put that all towards an artist CV or resume, and then identify the different pathways, whether that's, you know, being really good at operating camera or doing sound design, or for some people, maybe more in the animation realm, 2D, or we're starting to explore pathways and build partnerships with 3D studios to see where we could maybe land in that direction.
Cool. So I first heard about you guys, I think December 2020, so a few months ago, when you were holding the virtual gala. Now, usually, without COVID, I'm assuming it's in person. Is that correct?
Normally, it is in person, yes. Normally, we cool. are able to rent a big local theater here called the Rialto Theater. For the past number of years, we've held an in-person event that has grown to, you know, between 500 to 600, 700 people in attendance each year. It's really quite a lot of fun. You know, it's an event where we can watch the films that were created together during the summer camps, which are kind of intensive production heavy camps where we're pitching ideas and then having to do a lot of work to kind of pull that together at the end. Our process is always evolving to, you know, to improve. We always have a distance to go, but the idea is to really celebrate the talent and creativity that we see everybody putting forth at the summer camps. And that's what we, you know, typically are able to watch in person on a big screen at the gala. But this year it was virtual and it was great that you were able to attend.
Yeah, it was quite a good event. And for people who don't know, I would put it in the description, so most people will know, but in case they've played this without in the description, you're over in Canada, correct?
Yes, we are in Canada. We're in Montreal in the province of Quebec. And so it's kind of, it's on the eastern side, but not right on the coast. Folks know where Toronto is or New York. We're kind of directly north of New York on the Canadian side of the border. And yeah.
That's kind of cool that you managed to get it on virtual, because I got to watch it. So for me, it was quite a benefit, I suppose. One of the good things that came out of lockdown. But we went and I watched, and there was a few quite impressive, I think they were all impressive, but animations, which was what was mainly getting showcased. And when you make them through the summer camp, is it stressful at times running the gala and setting stuff up for it?
Yeah, well, I can speak to setting up the gala. I feel like there's maybe others on the call here that could speak to a little bit of the actual making of doing summer camp, because I'm a little bit more removed on the planning side of things. So yes, of course, setting up an event is, there's always stresses. In particular this year, trying to think of how we can make it somewhat interactive and not just be a stream, a watch party of watching media, but to be able to have some live components where we live streamed out of the studio and then cut to pre-recorded media. And so pairing that together was a really interesting piece to try to design, as well as, of course, we used this platform where we were able to interact before and after the times when we were either live streaming the in-person announcements or the pre-recorded media.
There was quite a variety of people there. There was one person which I noticed was an MP or whatever you call parliament members there. And then it was like from that range to family members as well. There was quite a lot of people as well, which did... I don't know how I want to phrase this one, actually. I wrote it down, but that didn't work. When you were presenting, was it because you had to tell everyone first? When you were telling people about it first, which would have been a bit different, do you prefer talking to people from a camera or do you prefer telling people from a stage?
Oh, wow. That's I have to say, from a stage, being there in person, the energy that comes with it, just being around everyone, you know, being able to hear the excitement from, you know, maybe somebody seeing their film or giving a shout out to another collaborator or somebody they've acted with or worked with. I feel like the energy of an in-person event is just so dynamic and so much fun that I miss that. But at the same time, I did find the ability to live stream and have people comment and be chatting and giving, you know, clicking on the little emoticons throughout the performance was something that was really fun that we didn't have during a live event. And so I think in the future, even when we go back to live, We'll always try to do a live stream of it so that, you know, as you say, you were able to attend from the UK. We had people coming from BC. We had people attending from Chile as well, who came to summer camp. We had some folks across the States, and really trying to bridge our community across distance is, it's a really unique and fun element. So yeah, I prefer in person, but to pair the two together, I think will be that future challenge.
Best of both worlds.
Totally, yeah.
So people can watch some of these films on YouTube channel, which I will link in the description of this podcast. And now I'm going to ask other people in the call. We'll start from one end of the screen, which they can see, to the other. And I'd like to ask, we'll start with Alex, how you make projects and stuff with like animations. How does the brainstorming process go? This is always interesting. Pardon? How does the brainstorming process go for what you're going to choose to make?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, it depends. It's not just about what I want to draw. It's also about what I think is, you know, good to draw. And in the past few animated shows that I've made, it involved historical people. And so I am a big fan of history. And I'm a big fan of animation. So I tried to do something that would combine two of my passions together.
Cool.
So an animated historical videos.
Which can also be found on the YouTube channel. That's another reason for people to go check.
Yes, that's true. They're on YouTube.
And I've watched quite a bit of the videos in the build up to this, and we've been in lockdown, so I've got to watch more than I thought I would. And there are everything's a surprisingly high quality to say that it was done either in summer camps and or through a schedule as well.
Yes.
And even if, and for someone who's not getting put on TV with a team of like hundreds of people, I think that they're made really well, which is another reason people should go check them.
I do love working with people, but I also work alone.
Yeah, cool. So now that I've got you to answer a question, I'll get to people soon, but could you introduce yourself? I just wanted you to answer a question first, if that's okay.
Of course.
Thank you.
Well, my name is Alex Kowalczyk. I have been at Spectrum for almost 4 years. I'm an expert in animation, and I hope to one day become a professional 2D animator.
Cool. So can we move on to the next person, please? I don't mind whoever's who you can...
Oh, what else do you want me to say? Because I'm a little lost still.
I'll ask you in a second, if that's okay.
Okay, of course, of course.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Thank you. So can Splatpad, as you've named yourself on screens, that's how people recognize you.
Technically, that's my little nickname. So sorry if it sounds... should I say my real name or...
You can say whatever you want. It's to me, it doesn't mind.
Well, my real name is Hunter Collin, so.
Cool. Could you introduce yourself, please?
Okay.
Thank you.
My name is Hunter Collin. I've been in Spectrum ever since 2015. And I've worked on a lot of interesting short films too. Rather, they're just like based on like my mind going wild and all that stuff. And I'm still actually like learning process of 2D animation. And the one thing I really enjoy doing there is is just to try to brainstorm ideas and other things. That's all I could say about that.
That's fine, thanks. And I'll ask you the same question as I asked Alex. What is it like, the brainstorming project, the brainstorming part of the project? How do you think of your ideas?
It's quite interesting, you know, unless because like, because there are times that you feel like that you want to like create a idea or a story that millions of people would enjoy, like,
We get the idea. I think you don't need to give example, but
I try to make it. I try to think of examples to make it make the question make the answer make sense. So
yeah. And when you're brainstorming, what comes first? I've just thought of this. Do you think of what other people like or what you'd like? What would you rather make?
Sometimes I rather think of the characters first, and then the world, and then figure out what the characters are about and how the story is going to go. Like, sometimes you need like some heroes, and sometimes you need a few villains. And you have to also like figure out on what's like the little problem that the main characters are facing and how they can like figure out the puzzle and solve it.
Cool. So right, so last but definitely not least, can you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, my name is Sierra Lynn. I came to Spectrum First in 2017 as a participant for the 3-week long camp. And since 2018, I've been a staff member. So I've worked as a camp counselor, production facilitator, and now I'm a writer for the website. So I've done almost every role at Spectrum possible so far. And during camps, I help with everything from acting, because I'm an actor myself, and filming, sound recording. So the benefit of being at a small studio like Spectrum is that you become a jack of all trades in a way. So you, there's not one task that you don't end up doing. And because of that, I can really learn where like I fit best in the filmmaking process, basically.
What's your favorite part of it? I just want to pick up when you said everything, so.
Yeah, I think my favorite part of it is working with my best friends, basically, because I, although I've only been a part of this community for like 4 years around there, like 4 or 5 years, I have really bonded with everyone I work for and with, and it's a lot of fun, especially when it comes to making our superhero movies, that like when we sit down at the table and we all start brainstorming, we're all really strong friends and we both have like the same idea of what we want to make in mind, so that can make brainstorming like very easy. And because I think we all understand like the kind of film we want to make, there still is some contention because all of us have very strong ideas of what we want our characters to go through, and sometimes that can like conflict with other characters. But since we're all really good friends at the end of the day, we all are able to resolve like any brainstorming issues fairly fast. And I think it's almost like, especially for the 3-week long camp we have, it's like a mini Hollywood basically, where we go from starting with like a blank slate, like a blank script, to getting halfway done through editing at the end of the camp. So yeah, there's a lot of fun to be had there.
You've answered the next question I was going to ask as well, which is quite good. It's quite good for you. What I'm going to now do is ask everybody. I can start with you if you want, because you're muted. What's been your favorite project you've worked on?
For me,
Yeah, please.
I think New Age of Heroes Cataclysm, because that was the first one that we all worked on together, where we were all in one group, and we all had like this common idea of a film we wanted to work on, and trying to get the details of that film done were like, it was a challenge, but filming it was so much fun, and getting to design costumes and make like brand new costumes from scratch was a lot of fun. And also the acting in Cataclysm, I think, is probably the best we've had so far, especially Thomas Kregler, who plays the Strike. He is an amazing actor, and it impressed me so much. Him and like Brendan, who plays Shadow, and Ben, who plays Iacron, and like so many other people in the cast are just incredible actors, especially since like some people have to act with masks on, where it's like not the face masks that everyone wears nowadays, but like helmets. So the helmets they designed for their characters to make themselves look like otherworldly characters, basically. So acting with a mask on and being expressive with your whole body, I think is a really admirable talent. So definitely that, like, it's like the second week in those 3 week long camps where we're just acting and filming and just having fun. Well, as much fun as you can when you're trying to work hard at the same time.
Cool. Can you give a brief plot without spoiling the ending so you can see if you can get some listeners intrigued?
Yeah, Cataclysm came out 2 years ago already. It's already on the YouTube channel, so they can look it up there. Essentially, it's takes place in this in the part of our superhero timeline before everyone really meets each other and really knows each other. So it's this, and they are facing this two villains, actually. One a Thanos style character who's also a very rich billionaire in our world, who has this superhero insurance company, basically, where he's like, oh, has your life been ruined by some superhero trying to stop a villain and they destroyed your house in the process? I have the insurance for you, sort of thing. And then another villain named Lunaris, who's like a godly kind of character. So both of them are working together, or are trying to, as villains can. Both of those villains are working together to try and like make the world as they want it, while all of us heroes who have just all gotten to know each other just then have to try and work together to save the world from those two villains.
Cool, gets everyone intrigued. My favorite part of that is the insurance company. I don't think I've seen something. I like that. That's quite funny.
Yeah. It's a bit of a subplot element to his character, but it's definitely one of the most unique kind of villain characters that we have. So,
yeah. So you mentioned your superhero universe, which I'd like to talk about later on. But that's something for people to look out for. There's quite a few movies with plots that connect with each other. Right, so who wants to go next and tell their favourite project? Okay. Alex first, because he said first, sorry.
Well, my favourite project is the latest video in the animated historical videos I made. The historical animated series I am making is called Quotes by Famous Historical People. And the latest one was a video I did on Barack Obama. And the reason why I chose this to be the best out of them all is that this is the first video I made where I actually used the voice of that character. All the others, I provided my own voice.
So you kind of answered that, but to clear up, would you say then you prefer using their actual voice, or do you prefer voicing over yourself?
Well, the thing is, I love my voice as well, and I would like to participate for them, but if ever I find the actual voices online for my projects, I will use them.
Fair enough. That makes sense. If it's there, why not use it? How do you decide who you're going to use? Is it just, oh, wait, this person's interesting, let's find a quote from them? How do you decide who you're going to use for their quotes? Is it, do you choose it because of the person or because of the quote?
I choose people who have made an impact on the world, who have, in a way, changed it in the past.
Fair enough. That, again, that makes it more interesting, I suppose, doesn't it? Anything you'd like to say about it before we move to the next person?
What did you say?
Anything you'd like to say about it before we move on to the next person?
About my videos?
Yeah, about your videos.
What would you like to know?
Anything. How long does it take, roughly? That's one that's interested in me. How long does it take to make one video?
Well, it depends. Sometimes, at least, it takes 2 weeks to make a video.
Fair enough. Do you do it by yourself or with people?
Oh, I do it by myself.
That's quite impressive, making like a whole series by yourself. That's quite impressive. And I've seen a few, which, again, other people can check out on YouTube, which will be linked below as well. Right, last person. I think you said you're called... I'm 99% your name's Hunter, right? Hunter? Yep. Cool.
Yeah, right. Then he'd be me, Hunter, yeah.
Memories. Right, okay.
So what's my favorite...
Yeah, what's your favorite... project, please.
Okay. If I'm gonna be honest, though, I really don't even know if I actually have a favorite project, but this one project is still continuing, though. And also, that project. I'll say it right now. I do enjoy the race chair little series that I've actually made. It's kind of like a little dumb story about like instead of race cars, we just actually have indoor or outdoor chairs racing inside or outside or whatever. And the editing is a little bit wonky in one of those films, the first two. Sam is supposed to be flying. In the second one, we showed it in the gala, it has been shortened, and of course, in the studio there is a director's cut, and I don't know if we ever actually get posted on YouTube or whatever, though, but there is a director's cut of Race Chairs 2, just letting you know that. But I think what I actually enjoy about doing this, though, is that it requires stop motion effect, though. But so instead of moving the chairs by ourselves, though, we just move one chair and then take a picture, move the chair again, take another picture, and of course but I think I actually enjoyed working in with the sequel more, because it has a lot more interesting people working on this film. Sierra also is what helped us out with one of the sounds and all that stuff, and it was a lot of fun. And if we're able to get back together, I might start production on Race Chairs 3.
Hopefully. How long did it take you to produce, we'll say the sequel, roughly?
Oh, the sequel or the first one?
Sequel, please, because it's most recent.
Oh, now that you mention it. I would say a week or two, I think.
Yeah, but yeah, it makes sense if you think about it, yeah. Okay. So how did you think of the ideas of the plot, the concept, and how they were going to link?
Well, almost as like with the other films and stories I made up, is just my mind going wild. Like, I mean, sure, I have to plan a script first. Sometimes I just like think of something, and I try my best to actually like write it down and then say, hey, I bet that idea is perfect and entertaining. Because I'm more of a guy that likes to make people laugh, and making people laugh puts a smile on my face. And what other things? I just try to like think of a heck load of comic relief.
So would you say then that's your genre, comedy? Would you say that's your genre that you prefer working in, comedy?
Comedy. I mean, like, I'm not that good with jokes, like, why did the chicken cross the road kind of joke. But just more like something that doesn't make sense. Something that is funny because it's unexpected.
Suppose if you think about it, most of the big movies don't make any sense if you break it down. So, like, Marvel's a bit, don't make sense, but it gained them loads of money. So, it works. Dan, what would you say your favourite, if you've got one, if you've had a favourite project that you've helped out with?
Favourite projects that I helped out with, this is my favourite?
Kind of half. You answered it, but yeah, never mind.
Well, there is this one project which I am actually mostly like proud of, though. But I mean, I wouldn't direct this film or create it, but I did help out. I think it's called One Last Bowl, which is a bowling film, which we worked on in the summer in 2019 before this abomination took over the world. Dang virus. I think that one's like a lot more fun because I get to do some drawings for shirts or for the strike animation on the old fashioned TV. And we get to go in a really different area, which looks really good, which is a big bowling alley. But it was a lot of fun that I actually like used some of my artwork to like help out and stuff. I still have the shirts, but I don't know if I should actually like show since we don't have, I don't know if we have enough time. Do we have enough time? I'm not sure.
It's up to you. If you want, you can go get it. If someone else is answering a question, it's up to you. Anyway, thank you. And you can continue if you want.
Oh, I was just about to like show the shirts though, but
If you want, go.
But again, I'm really glad that my artwork helped out the film and hold up.
Okay, so while he's going to get the shirt, Dan, do you have anything to add on to what other people have said?
Yeah, sure. I mean, one thing that I would like to point out, especially around One Last Bowl, since we're on the topic, is that, you know, it premiered at our gala, but then sometimes we wait for a little while because we're thinking about submitting to festivals or to try to get it to go a little bit further. And so it's always something that we're considering. But right now, because we, you know, festivals kind of shut down or things have become a bit more complicated, we've been working on just getting our YouTube releases back out again. And One Last Bowl, I believe, is coming out maybe this week or next week. So it's going to be released on the YouTube channel. And I think that, Hunter, you did a an amazing job. I loved the storyline behind that. I love the Spectrum cinematic. I love the Spectrum cinematic universe and the superhero narrative. But I also love the ideas that come from just like this narrative storytelling. Hunter, you're showing your artwork there. I wonder if you could describe it.
Yeah, I wonder if you could. Explain
okay,
it,
I mean.
Please.
I can't tell if we're basically only like recording our voices or recording a screen or whatever.
A bit of both, a bit of both.
Okay. I'll show you the first one if that's okay. sorry for being a distraction to all of you guys. But I don't know the name for this one though, but it's more like a bowling ball in heaven. Another one, hold on. It's basically just a bowl with red eyes and a bowling ball on its forehead. And I don't think I have the strike animation with me right now, but it is in the movie. So keep your eyes on that if you want.
Cool. All right, you've said you wanted to add something onto that, Hunter, if that's okay. What have your other favorites been? Or your other light projects been?
Are you talking to me or are you talking about someone else? Oh, to me, of course. Shoot.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Can you repeat that, please?
What's been your other... you said you wanted to add something on.
Oh, I mean, I just want to say that I had other projects other than... race chairs and all that stuff though, because for most of the time us movie creators and of course idea brainstormers have improved somehow. I made a very weird and cringy video that is based on a video game which is a horror game. It's technically a Five Nights at Freddy's world, and it's called like Hunter's Reaction to FNAF World, and I regret that film. But I mean I'm not saying that's bad though, but it's more of it shows like how much I've improved in filmmaking these days. But I still regret making that film.
Sometimes the cringy ones are the better ones to look back on.
I must add that Five Nights at Freddy's based movies were essentially like a huge era for Spectrum. I don't know how it happened, but it just did. And we have over like 10 different films based on that video game, because it became so popular for like the kind of for people that were the age in our studio. And so we were like, we didn't know how it happened, but we have like over 10 different movies based on that video game. And the weird thing is it's like it kept on going and going, and now it's tapered off a little. So I think it was just like a very weird era for Spectrum. I think all the FNAF films ever.
I still regret it.
It's okay.
May I say something, please?
Yeah, Alex.
Sorry for interrupting, but even if it was maybe not what you hoped for, it's still a good learning experience. You can learn from that video.
Yeah.
That's all.
Correct. That's fine. So we've got this thing that I found out about, and it's quite a big, I suppose universe is one way of saying it, the Spectrum Cinematic Universe, I think it was called, yeah? Who wants to tell us? You can just unmute yourself or start talking. How it all started. I don't really mind who talks about this. I've seen like a graph of all the films. There was a lot. How did it get started?
Oh man, I can't remember who it was about 5 or 6 years ago now. Robert Girolami, who plays the illusionist, Francesco, who plays Solarus, and then also Penelope, who plays Alucard slash Zunder, and also another guy named Jordan, who plays Dornova. All of them just started making superhero films at the same time. It was very natural. Like, it's not like the Marvel Cinematic Universe where everything was very pre-planned in advance, like that, like this would happen then and this would happen there and sort of thing. The SCU was extremely spontaneous and it was inspired by the MCU in a way. So all those guys came up with their own unique characters. Some were short-lived while others still have a role today. And after they had their, so Robert, Francesco, and the others, and also Corey, who plays Vigilante, they started, I think it was Galactic Justice, Rise of the Duminoids, like it was about 5, 6 years ago. And then another participant named Sam Clark watched that and was inspired to make a film attached to that universe and called that one New Age of Heroes. And that one is a very Avengers style sort of team up of unlikely characters. So Sam Clark made his own character named Electine in that universe. His character has like electrical powers. And in his first movie that he made, his character ends up being cloned. And then there's a dark Electine character who is played by his twin brother, Leo Clark. And the fun thing is, especially when they filmed it, both of them looked very, very alike. Now they've matured a lot more and they definitely look a bit different. But like 4 or 5 years ago when they made it, they both looked very similar. And people thought, watching Electine the Hero Guardian, that it was a CGI split, that Sam was playing two characters and that we were able to put them together in some way. But in truth, it was his twin brother playing a darker version of him. So since that film, there's been a dragon played by Cole McCary, Thomas Kregler, who plays a strike, Tristan Tieran, who plays Poltergeist, and so many other characters that have been added into this universe, along with a lot of awesome villains. So it was extremely spontaneous, and it's honestly surprising how long it's been going on now, that it's just been very natural and people just keep on adding it and on to it. And a lot more people want to get involved because it's like being involved in like a very small version of the MCU, one that we've created ourselves. The fun thing is though, like, even though there's so many people that want to get involved because they're like, oh, I want to see myself as a cool superhero right away, it also does involve a lot of hard work, because trying to plan all these films in this spontaneous way, we end up having a ton of different plot loopholes and like things that get like retconned right away, as in like plot points that we've written out in the past that we look back on and are like, okay, we gotta look back on this and then readjust it. So the SCU has been a really fun experiment, and it's made like, I think it's made like almost half of the content for Spectrum in like the past 3 or 4 years. And I hope it continues for a few years still. Because I think a lot of people want to contribute to it right now and want to keep it going forward.
Cool. So again, people can find on YouTube. I don't know how much of them they can find, but they'll definitely be able to find some, I'm pretty sure. How much can they find on YouTube?
All of the ones we've made so far are
cool
on YouTube, except for the animated one we made last year. So that one includes my character, the White Wolf, and also a newer character called Spectre, played by Aiden. So we are still introducing some new characters.
Cool. So yeah, people can go find pretty much most of them on YouTube and watch it. Dan, you look like you want to say something.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that that final animated version that screened at our gala this year is also going to screen at Cinema au Palais. It's going to be for part of the Nuit Blanche event this year, so there'll be a live stream of that coming out. And I think that because it was so well done, there was, you know, a lot of thought put into the story and the arc and transitioning to an animated version. We thought it was really worthy of trying to see where else we could submit it to and get recognition at festivals. I don't know if it'll be selected, but we were considering that maybe it's something we can pull the creators around to see if they want it to just come out on YouTube right away or if we should submit it to festivals.
Yeah, well, wouldn't they try and go for the Golden Globe? That's happening soon. Why not? So there's quite a few of them, and I'll be honest, I've not watched them all because I don't have time, but I am planning on. The animated version, which is coming out onto screening soon, was that a hard process? Anyone that's been involved can answer that. Was it a hard process trying to take real live action characters into the animated world?
Yeah, I was involved in producing it, and my character, the White Wolf, was also in that one. We definitely had to change the way we made films and approached making a superhero film. In fact, we were planning on making an entirely different film last year, but thanks to all the changes from last year, we actually got some time to take a step back and make a film that's more of like an anthology and more of like a collection of stories from different superheroes. So, and also like anti-heroes and the anti-villains we have. So we called it New Age of Heroes Data Breach. And it's essentially like different files on different characters, and that some very mysterious figure has infiltrated the files of what we call the Superior Six. So that's like our version of the Avengers. The Superior Six, and also the Dragon Strike Squad, which is another group of characters we have in the SCU. So all of those characters have been compromised in this data breach by a villain that we don't know much about yet. So making that online, all on Zoom, was definitely a huge learning curve for all of us. We did the best we could. There was some technical difficulties trying to record everything, but luckily with the SCU group in particular, all the guys behind that are really technically adept at making their own stuff. Like the guy who plays Strike, Thomas, makes almost all of his own special effects. Colm, who plays Dragon, is an animator and beginner artist as well. And so everyone, and Aiden, who plays Spectre, is a really good storyteller himself. So we, all of us who were doing Advanced Camp online, we all were able to contribute just our own skills to it. And it was just a learning curve trying to make sure everyone put stuff into the Dropbox so we could all get everyone's files, because that was the one real change, is that like at the studio, all the files are on all the computers we have. But the one big change is that we had to make sure that everyone put their files into the Dropbox at the right time so we could say like, oh, this is what we did today.
Out of the experiences of doing it online from home and from camp, I suppose, would you say it's easier to do an animated movie at home or in camp? A live action one would obviously be easier in person, but for animated ones, would you say it's easier to do it at home?
I'd say there was like it was tough making sure that we're all on task, because I think especially doing it from home, people feel like a lot more comfortable just doing things in their own time. While being at the studio, it's like the participants are there from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. or 3:30 p.m. at the studio every day. And when they're there, they're kind of in this mindset of like, okay, I have like this time to get the stuff done. But during online camps, they were at home, they were like, and a lot of them thought like, oh, we could get stuff in our own time. And so it was just making sure that people were able to get their own work done on time. I'm not a big animator myself, so I think that like, I think maybe Hunter or Alex can speak more to what it was like to animate from home, or what it's like to create animation. So I don't know who can speak to that exactly, but.
Okay, fair enough. I suppose there's challenges and benefits. Hunter, yeah, okay. You've got, what would you like to add to it?
Well, what I can say about animating, it is quite hard when you're like sketching like a lot of drawings of like a character or a thing moving. So, I mean, for me at home, it's a little hard because I don't have that much quality of animation. But I am trying. I've done a few animations so far. Rather they're short and sweet, or rather they're a tiny bit long. But I am really wanting to actually like make a nice long animation. I mean, the softwares I do have, what I use for animation are Fire Alpaca and Krita. Those are one of the animation softwares that I use. Even though that Fire Alpaca is more for art, and Krita is all can also use for animation. Sorry for that little finger there. I'm sorry, that was a mistake. I apologize. But either way, I am actually like trying my best to actually like become like to improve on my animation skills and see what kind of animation things I have to like do, like smears or positions or other types of poses that I've never done before. So all I could say, animation, it can be fun and hard at the same time, because the style I do is just hand-drawn and a tiny bit of tweening.
Cool. So would you like to sum it down? Do you want to add to that, or?
Add to that, as in like.
Is that when you're animating on software, what would you say you've done a different type of animating from home? Like, have you gone for something more quick, or do you basically at home, does it change how you animate?
It's kind of quick, even though that I sometimes like to do animation on my free time. It's sometimes my little hobby.
Cool. I've always wanted to do animate. I just don't like drawing. I just like making the story. I remembered, and then that's a problem if you want to do animating, you have to kind of like to draw.
Yes.
I used to make these little things. It was just on my phone in my free time, but they were so simple, but it would take so long. It was just a stickman animation, and then I'd make it all show my friends, and then I'd realize I forgot to add a voiceover, which wasn't very helpful to telling a story. So it was just these little stick men waving. That was about it, potentially fighting if I was creative. So when you're submitting and trying to get work on the gala, would you say that's the goal, or basically what's the goal when you're animating? I don't mind who wants to go. Alex, you've not spoke for a while, so would it be okay if you answer?
Of course. You were saying?
When you're animating, is your goal to try and get it onto the gala, or do you have a separate goal?
Well, when I make it, I usually focus on just how good I can make it. When I do my projects, I don't necessarily do them to show off. I do it because I love it.
It's a great answer, actually. I think adds to the podcast that quite a lot. Wholesome answer. I get to add that as well. Cool. So when you've finished animating and you've finished editing, you've just finished everything, the movie's ready, or the animation, you don't have to be a movie. How much times do you watch it back before you...
How many times do I watch it back before I, you know, about when I do it again? Once or twice.
Okay. Why? Is there a reason twice, or is it just by then you're sick of it?
The reason why twice is sometimes because I want to you know, really make sure.
Yeah. But fair enough. If you've animated something and you listen to it, and there's like just a little problem in the middle, just say a voice line didn't come out and you didn't notice it before, would you go and, this is a fear I've had in my head for a while, would you go and record that whole scene again with everybody in it if it was a conversation so it sounds more natural, or would you just record that one line that didn't come out?
I'm going to be completely honest. Okay. If it's not too much trouble for the others, then I would reshoot it again.
Fair enough. This was just a question I had for a while, because I was like, do people go for trying to get it efficient, which would just be shooting the line, or they want it to sound natural? And I suppose you're correct. When if everyone can do it, you might as well get them to record the whole thing again.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone on for, I think it's a decent amount of time, and things seem to be going well. Is there anything any of you would like to say before I do the wrap-up questions, which is basically just round things up?
I'm not really sure. Do you have anything in mind before the wrap-up questions?
Not really. It's just whatever you guys... What do you enjoy? What do you enjoy about making stuff?
What do I enjoy about what?
Making the projects.
Well, you're going to... Well, this is... Because I'm a great drawer when it comes to art. When I make videos, animated videos that move, I feel happy because it makes me feel like I'm bringing my drawings to life.
Cool. Fair enough. That's makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? What do you anyone else enjoy about doing these projects? I don't mind which order. Whoever knows their answer first.
Well, just like Alex, I do enjoy drawing.
Cool. Is it fun seeing your stuff come to life, seeing your drawings?
Of course it is. It is really fun. I love seeing my creations come to life.
Cool. Is it rewarding?
Huh?
Is it rewarding? Like, do you feel a sense of pride after?
There are times, yes. There are times that I feel proud.
After going on for something for ages and ages, and it's finally done.
Yes, that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah, it's done. I like it. Do you, like, watch it over again or do you go straight to making a new?
Yeah, there are times I watch, like, one of my animations or videos over and over again.
Cool. I'm practically done. I'm just going to pause recording. So thanks for coming on. We're nearly done. It's been decent length. And I'd just like to ask Dan, when you're seeing everything get done and you're seeing it progress slowly, how does that feel when you're seeing everybody's projects slowly come closer to finishing?
I mean, obviously it's the reason why I'm passionate about trying to put all the organization and put all these pieces together. That's the exciting part for me. And even watching this like creation from a distance and seeing everyone adapt and put the effort in to be creating from home, to be animating during summer camp, and to just put all this effort in, it's to me so exciting. I love seeing that network and community element come together. So yeah, just incredibly proud of everyone's efforts and creative ideas that just keep pumping out. And I'm always surprised by the new angle that everyone takes when they promote their ideas. So yeah, it's exciting.
And there's this one question that I've tried to make a tradition. Sometimes I forget, which is quite annoying when I listen back. So I'm not going to forget this time. And it's got nothing to do with what we've talked about, but we've made it a tradition. What are your guys' favourite band or musician? We can start with, we'll start with Dan, because you're who we spoke to last.
I'm going to have to go with Nick Cave.
Any specific reason or just like it?
It's consistently been a favorite musician over the years, both the scope of albums, the feeling it gives me, and I guess the recent album that just came out. It's beautiful.
So does anyone else have a favorite musician that likes it? Yeah, Alex?
My favorite musician is Ed Sheeran.
Cool. Any specific reason?
Well, it's just that there's a it's when I've seen some of his music videos where he was providing, where he was singing, and I think that each of the videos he made is unique in their own way.
Well, that's interesting. Would you say you're trying to, I'm going back on the topic here, which I suppose what I'm supposed to do the whole way through. Would you say that's, do you use that to help model what you're making? Do you use any ideas that he's used in his music videos for your projects?
Yeah, I draw some inspiration from it. Some of the inspiration comes purely from my imagination.
Oh, fair enough, I suppose. Yeah, hold on.
Musician. My favorite musician would have to be Marshmello.
Any specific reason, like I asked?
Because the way his music sounds, I love how happy like one of his music sounds, whether it's like rapping or techno and all that stuff though. But yeah, his music gives me a bit of joy in a good day.
Fair enough. I think I just had a voice crack there. That's annoying.
Okay.
yeah.
That is a really unique question, Dominic. I think mine would probably be Fall Out Boy. Like, I love punk rock and like kind of like that kind of genre of music. I started listening to their music in grade 12, and it was like, it like really helped me like just express how I was feeling. I think like that kind of genre of music. And then like, I just love listening to like independent music and like, and just like random artists on YouTube, which is like part of how I even find music for the movies I want to make, or like even character themes for some of the other characters we have in the SU. So it's like, yeah, I think definitely like really, really energetic and like really dramatic stuff like that gets me inspired and gives me like ideas of what I want to like make in every story I make. So yeah, it's like something that really inspires me.
Cool. So thanks everyone for coming on, and it's been great interview. Before we go, does anyone want to say a parting message? Link your socials, YouTubes, whatever. Yeah? You
can go. One thing to say, all I could say is if you have a nice story idea, that is you think is good. Don't let any other person judge you on your ideas.
It's a good message to leave it on, actually. Thanks everyone for listening. Thanks for coming on, to you guys specifically. And you can find them on social media. I'll tag them in my post when I'm publishing this.
Yes, please subscribe to Spectrum Productions. We put so much hard work into our videos. Yeah.
We appreciate all the support, everyone.
Yeah.
Spectrum is the place where you where you reach the sky.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks for coming on, and I'll see you all later. Thank you.
See you later. Thanks, bye.
Thank you so much for listening and watching. It's been, I think that was quite a good interview, and although there was a lot of people, so at times it will obviously get messy. It gets messy anyway. It's just welcome to my show, guys. I think it was great, and you can find out more about them on their website. Again, there'll be a link below in description on whatever you're listening on. Descriptions are on everything, really, aren't they? And yeah, thanks for all hanging with me in the break. The intro music you heard at the beginning was by Ego Cheap. And I'll see you all in the next episode. Thank you, guys, and see ya.